In St. John's Gospel, which we're reading this Sunday, there's no account of Jesus alone and fearful in the Garden of Gethsemane, which were given in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we do encounter here in John's Gospel the same human hesitation, even fear, in the passage that we just read. And Jesus' decisive hour is approaching, and he has spoken of it before. And he knows of the severe suffering that that hour will entail. And here he tells Philip and Andrew, "I am troubled now." Despite his fear and hesitation, and these are manifestations of his humanity, which he shares with you and me, Jesus remains totally, steadfastly faithful to his Father's will. He does not ask to be delivered from the hour, but rather that his Father's will be glorified. His Father's will be glorified. His being lifted up on the cross will be the ultimate glorification of the name of God the Father, and will mark the final victory over Satan and all the powers of darkness. And for Jesus, his real suffering on the cross will not be so much physical pain that he'll have to endure, but rather it will be the knowledge that some people, perhaps many people, will not accept God's love, will not accept the redemption which he wins for all of us on the cross. For you and me, that hour of glorification on the cross, the way we, you might say, appropriate that ourselves is the hour in which you and I personally recognize and hold to what God has done for us. We heard in the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah about a new covenant being promised by the Lord. And that new covenant is inaugurated by Jesus on the cross. In Jeremiah, the Lord, through Jeremiah, tells us that that covenant will be written on our hearts. That new covenant, which aims at the forgiveness of all our sins in the way that is nearly incomprehensible, it's the way that in which God forgives our sins. God does not remember our sins. And this recognition alone should lead us, you might say, to, you could even say, hate our lives that are centered in this world. That is, to the extent to which we center our lives in this world and are encouraged to think and act for ourselves alone. And even as Jesus contemplates his own death, his thoughts turn to his disciples. And as we heard in this gospel, he offers them a simple parable which should be understandable to any farmer, any gardener, a parable pointing to the paradox of life, life through death, a death which will be the beginning of a better and bigger way of life. And he says, "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in the world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant will be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." So to be a Christian is to be where Jesus Christ is. Jesus is always pouring out his life for others on the cross, giving himself for the good of others through self-forgetful love. And St. Paul, who I think of as kind of our first theologian, because he was preaching and writing several decades after the death of Jesus, he learned this lesson well when he wrote to the Corinthians, "The only knowledge I claim to have was about Jesus, and only about him as the crucified Christ." So authentic Christian love is always about self-giving. In a passage I read at a daily mass some days ago by Father Benedict Rochelle, he reminds us that the early Christians at the time the scriptures were written would have always thought of love in terms of fulfilling one's responsibilities, fulfilling one's commitments. And so I think that's an important dimension for each of us to think about. In loving God and loving our neighbor, what we're asked to do is to fulfill our responsibilities, to be faithful to the responsibilities that we are given in the vocation that we have right now. And Jesus says, a man can have no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And he calls us to love. It's the commandment he's given us. Therefore, he's teaching us that our own lives must bear the sign of the cross, the sign of self-giving and self-sacrifice. The cross is the mark of a Christian. The lesson of the cross lies in the understanding that obedience and total love yield a rich harvest. In fact, Jesus actually invites us into his sufferings on the cross. He gave the same invitation to his disciples, for whom it must have been especially hard, because his disciples, unlike us, they did not know the outcome of the story. And they, as they went along as his disciples, they had lots of reasons for hesitation. The demand, the requirement of Christian discipleship is as real for you and me as it was for them. In the familiar pattern, which we will celebrate beginning next Sunday, Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus entering Jerusalem will hear these words, Hosanna to the Son of David. But by Good Friday, he will hear, crucify him, crucify him. And both of these realities represent for Jesus his Father's will, the will of his Father's to which he is totally obedient at every instant of his earthly life. For disciples of Jesus Christ, sorrow will often be mixed with joy. Suffering will be mixed with victories, and dying mixed with rising. But our steadfast fidelity, our fidelity to our Father's will, in good times and in bad, will merit the final reward of authentic Christian discipleship. As Jesus promises us this morning in our gospel, the Father will honor whoever serves me.